still there. We'll be there probably for a couple more Sundays. But John chapter 9, and we'll read verses 6 through 12. Gospel according to John, chapter 9, verses 6 through 12. And Sister Williams, as always, has been good and kind enough to put the scriptures up. I would also suggest that if you don't already have a Bible or have some device that you can pull up your Bible in, that you would make that investment. And it would be an investment that would be beneficial to your walk in Christ. And certainly there was a saying that says, if you want to hide something from a certain group of folk, put it in a book. And so I'm not going to say who them folk was, but I'll say this. Go get the book or go get the device and read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. All right. You've had more than enough time to get there. And it reads on this wise. When he said these things, he spat on the ground and he made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who had previously seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? And some said, this is he. And others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how are your eyes open? And he answered and he said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And so I went and washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? And he said, I do not know. Let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege of prayer. We come boldly to the throne of grace and we lay our petitions before you. We ask, Father God, that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word this day. Our prayer is that you would allow it to take root in our heart, that it would produce fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Our prayer is, Father God, that we would be not just hearers of the word, but doers as well. I pray, Father God, for those who do not know you in the pardon of their sins, those who do not and have not called you their Father, those who have not confessed with their mouth and believed in their heart the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if you were to do this, you will be saved. So I come praying, Father God, for those who have yet to make that confession, that Jesus died and rose again in 3 days' time, and that he now sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for them. I come praying for myself this day, Father God, asking that you would decrease me, that you would increase your Holy Spirit, that you would think with my mind and speak with my mouth, that you would hide me behind the cross, that your words would go forth with clarity and with power, doing those things which you have purposed them to do. Now, these and all other things we ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. And so just for a few moments of the time that we have together, just want to talk about from the thought, the theme, the idea, a change explained. A change explained. For the last several weeks, we've talked about what Jesus has done through the gospel according to John. We began in chapter 3 when Jesus is visited by Nicodemus. And he is, Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. And so now Nicodemus is put in a situation where he has to, I'll say up his game, or in other words, he has to now look at Jesus as someone whom he hadn't quite thought of before. He might've thought Jesus as a good teacher. Certainly he referred to him as rabbi, but now Jesus had put him in a situation or put him in such a way where he has to think about Jesus more than in the horizontal, but more in the vertical. And then we went and talked about the woman at the well. The woman at the well who meets Jesus at the well. And in the beginning, he's just some Jewish guy at the well. Probably shouldn't even be at the well because he's some Jewish guy. And all of a sudden, they become involved in this conversation where he becomes someone more than just some man at the well. But she then leaves that conversation, goes back to a city of outcasts, and tells them to come meet a man who's told me all about myself. And then we moved on from that two-day revival that Jesus conducts in the Samaritan city, where that whole city of men and women come back and they say, now we believe for ourselves because we've heard him. Again, Jesus has spoken in such a way that it has moved people from one position to another. And so then we talked about the man who was at the pool at Bethesda, where Jesus probably had to walk around some people and tell some others, excuse me, pardon me, to get to that certain man. And the Bible says that when Jesus got to that certain man, he only asked him one question. And the question was, do you want to be made whole? And certainly the man gave Jesus an explanation why he couldn't get into the pool, but Jesus wasn't really concerned about his explanation. He was concerned about, do you want to be made well? And so what the man does is Jesus speaks to the man, gives him a command, tells him to rise and take up your bed and walk. And the man does exactly what it is that Jesus tells him to do. Last week, we began our journey here with Jesus coming into Jerusalem. He had left Galilee. He goes into Jerusalem. And as he's there in Jerusalem, he comes across a man who was born blind. And so this man who was born blind, the disciples asked Jesus, well, who did sin? Was it his parents or did he, that he was born blind? And so certainly this is a mindset that they had in the first century in regards to those who had certain diseases and ailments, that if the parents had committed some type of sin, that sin would then fall upon that child. But what Jesus sets them right and basically says, neither this man nor his parents have sinned. He is in the condition that he's in so that the power of God may be made manifest through him. And so then we began to talk about the work, the works that Jesus did. And so Jesus essentially says, I've seen my Father work, I am working. And the idea is that there is no shortage of work. And so what Jesus is doing, he is commissioning his disciples to continue to work. And so what we have today is that work that has been performed on this man, and the work that has been performed on this man has produced a change. It's produced a change. And so just like we've seen before, in each instance, there was either a change in perception where they didn't see Jesus as their equal, but someone who is more than their equal. In fact, he is their Messiah. So there was a change in perception, a change in position, or a change in their proclamation. As we find with the woman who is at the well, who says, in regards to Jesus, come see a man who's told me all about myself. He must be the Christ. And so here is my take-home point, is that when Jesus changes you, then there's going to be a change that others will see, and you're going to be asked to explain how that change came about. When Jesus changes you, there is a change about you that others will see, and you will be asked to explain how that change comes about. Well, we see that in the text today, don't we? First of all, there is a change that changes you. There's a change that changes you. Here in verses 6 and 7, it says that when he had said these things, he spat on the ground, he made clay with the saliva, he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So what does the man do? He went and he washed and he came back seeing. After Jesus had explained to the disciples for the reason of the man's blindness wasn't because of the sin of his parents per se, but so that the power of God might be manifested through him, God works, therefore the Son works. And because God the Father works, and because God the Son works, we who are called the children of God have an obligation to work as well. That is how the power of God will work through us in this world. We see that his disciples are to be about the work. Jesus shows us the power of the gospel through the work that he performs on this man. All signs and all miracles are to point us towards the gospel. Signs and miracles are great and wonderful for the individual, but it is the gospel, by men hearing the gospel and having it find its way into their hearts, that men, women, boys, and girls are changed. They go from darkness into light. They go from enemies of Christ to children of Christ. They move from what they were to what they can be. It is not so much the sign or the miracle, it is the gospel that follows. And here, the true power of the gospel is the power to save. It has the power to change your situation. It has the power to take your mess ups and make them miracles. It has the power to take your faults and your foibles, and that you might then find favor with God. It is the power of the gospel and its primary purpose, not so much to change your circumstances or even to change the things that are around you, but the power of the gospel is that it changes you. In this man's case, it not just changed him spiritually, but it also changed him physically. And usually it's the opposite. The word of God will change you oftentimes spiritually before there's ever a change in you physically. Here, it still required though that when God gives us an instruction, that we obey the instruction, that way we might then receive the blessing. Here, Jesus told the man, after he done spit in on the ground in the dirt, took the dirt and rubbed it on his eyes, to go wash at that particular pool. Didn't tell him to go and get a basin and wash it off. Didn't tell him to go to the River Jordan and wash it off. Told him to go to the pool at Siloam and there wash it off. And notice, he had to leave where he was to go to that pool. He left where he was. As blind as he was, he obviously knew where the pool was. He made his way to that pool, and in obedience to what it is that Jesus had told him to do, he did exactly that. Can you imagine if he had not done exactly what it was that Jesus had told him to do? He may not have received the blessing of sight. And that's the point I want to make to some of us today. Jesus has told us certain things to do, and we have not obeyed him in the manner in which he has told us to do them. And it might be the reason why you have not received the blessing that is due you. He has told you that a man and a woman should join themselves together in marriage and forsake your parents and join yourself with your wife. Maybe the reason why your marriage is not working out is because you have not obeyed all that God has called you to do. Yes, your in-laws may be outlaws. I understand that. Or you might have a very good relationship with your in-laws. But at the end of the day, that marriage is between that man and that woman. And if you two can't work it out, it's not up to your parents or her parents to work it out for you. Part of marriage is that the two become one. And so if you're going to be one, guess what? You're going to have some fights sometime. You're not always going to agree on certain things. Sometimes you have to learn to compromise. Sometimes you have to learn to take low. Sometimes you have to be gracious in acquiescing to what it is that the other party wants to do. But the reason why oftentimes we have not received the full blessing that God has for us is because we have not done all that he has called us to do. Here we find that the man does exactly what it is that Jesus has said for him to do. In order to properly explain the changes that are taking place, we must first realize that the change not only changes you, but then there is also a change that others can see. Here in verses 8 and 9, he makes his way back to where he was. And some of the people who he meets are his neighbors who had previously seen him. In other words, those who he knew saw him first. And not only did they see him, but they noticed that there was a change about him. Maybe previously he had a stick that he had needed to walk around with so that he wouldn't bump into things. Or maybe his gait was a lot more sure-footed because he didn't have to look out for rocks that were in front of him or a tree that may have been beside him. Now that he had the ability to see, instead of his head being held down, maybe his head was held up high. Maybe he was busy looking at things that he had never seen before. And because he had probably never seen these neighbors with his eyes before, he was not recognizing them. But because there was a change about him, they looked at him, they recognized him, but there was something different about him. And that's pretty much the way that we find ourselves when we first believe in Jesus Christ, that there is a change that we undergo. Matter of fact, Deacon Williams brought this up in Bible study today. He brought it up basically saying that when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we have gone from darkness into the marvelous light, when we have become no longer enemies of God, but the children of God, there is a change that occurs within us. Sometimes it can be seen, but sometimes others will have to observe us over a period of time before they can see the change that started on the inside works its way out on the outside. It's amazing to me sometimes when people will say to others, you don't look like what you've been through. And because they know your story, they see your glory and they know your story and they're trying to figure out, how did you get from point A to point B? You really should be dead, lying in your grave. Well, let me tell you about Jesus, who took me off that path of death and put me on a path of eternal life. There is something about when we have confessed with our mouth and have believed in our heart, Jesus Christ, that it takes us from the surety of death in hell to where we have eternal life with him. People see the change in you sometimes before you can even see the change in yourself. And we see that being demonstrated here with that man. The Bible says the neighbors who knew him, knew who he was, he must have been a semi-permanent fixture where he was begging. Where they say, oh, there go begging John. Here he is. Is always in the same place at the same time, asking for alms. They knew him because he probably had been there for quite some time. But sure enough, when he was able to walk and look and see on his own, there was a question of in their mind and some hesitation to believe that this was the same guy. They said, well, wait a minute. Isn't he the same guy who would sit and beg? Now notice, and this is true in life. Some said, it is he. And then others said, no, it looks like him. And that's the way change works sometimes, is that when you change, there are always people who want to keep you in the box that they have put you in. Even though you may have changed, even though you are no longer that person, people want to put you in that box because it's easier for them to remind you where you came from. You can't be no better than what you were because I knew what you were. You can't have progressed the way that you've progressed because you were in this box. But Jesus has a way of opening doors so you can walk outside your box and that you can walk around and be free of what others think of you. And then truth be told, some of that change is a change in your own mindset. I'm never going to get any better. I'm never going to get any stronger. I'm never going to get out of the situation that I'm in. Jesus has a way, and he lets you know that you are not the sum total of your circumstances. For he tells you, and then he gives you the Holy Spirit. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. This is not beyond me. I may not have the strength in and of myself, but I know that I can overcome because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Change will cause others to ask what's going on with you. There are those who knew him and were around the man, knew that he had been changed. They could see the change, but what they needed to know, what was the reason for the change? Verse 10 and 11 say, therefore they said to him, how are your eyes open? And he answered and he says, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And so I went and washed and I received my sight. Now notice they then ask the question, where is he? And he responds, I don't know. Well, truth of the matter is that having seen the change in the man who was previously blind, they asked the obvious question, you know, how were your eyes open? And, you know, truth be told, sometimes people ask questions like this for their own, not so much edification, but to see if whether or not they can get something out of it as well, which is fine because what happens here, and this is the nature of signs and miracles, is that in and of themselves, they are great, they are wonderful, but the sign and the miracle are to point you to Christ. Here, they ask the question, how did your eyes get open? He responds, a man named Jesus. And that's my point to those of us who are here today, who already are within the ark of safety, who already know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who already know Jesus as the captain of 10,000, who already know Jesus as the beginning and the end, who already know Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega, who already know Jesus as the way maker, who already knows Jesus as the one who opens doors, and who already knows Jesus as the one who closes doors. those of you who already know Jesus, we have an obligation to go and share what it is and who it is that has changed us. The reason why I'm no longer the liar that I am is because Jesus came and changed me. The reason why I'm no longer the gambler that I am is because Jesus came and changed me. The reason why I'm no longer an alcoholic is because Jesus came by and changed me. The reason why I'm no longer a promiscuous and sleeping around and sneaking around at night is because Jesus came along and changed me. I'm not the same person as I was before. Jesus came through and changed me. He let me know that he died on Calvary's cross for my sins. Jesus came through and he changed me, not through his death alone, but because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I am now changed. The Bible says all I must do is believe that Jesus died and rose again in 3 days' time from the grave, and that he now sits on the right hand of the Father, and I can now be saved. There is a change that can take place if I simply believe. It doesn't cost me any money, but it may cost me some time. It may cost me some prayer. It may cost me the opportunity to explain to others. I have a cross that I must carry when I believe. And that cross, a part of carrying that cross, is that you tell others how your change came across. Yes, that change, when I believed for myself and confessed for myself, there was a change that changed me. And then others began to see the change that was in me. And then I was telling others the reason for the change. Now, unlike the man who was whose eyes were open, where they asked, "Well, where is he?" I can respond that I know where my Redeemer is, and my Redeemer sits on the right hand of the Father. He makes intercession for me. When I drop the ball, when I fumble, when I mess up, Jesus comes and Jesus makes a way for me. He says, "It's all right. He has received me. I have shed my blood so that he might be saved. I've just come by to let you know my Redeemer lives and he sits on the right hand of the Father." I don't have to be like this man and say, "I don't know." I know where my Redeemer is. I know where Jesus is. And then one day with you have been received the change yourself. When he comes and he calls and we respond, those who are alive in Christ will be caught up with him in the heaven. But you know what the Bible says, that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, even if we should pass away on this earth, if we should die as we are on this earth, the Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. So either way, whether I die on this earth or he comes for me, I have the promise that I will be with him always, even throughout the end of the age, for all of eternity, for all time, I'll be with him. And he'll be with me. Well, the word of God has gone forward and it's doing those things that he's purposed them to do. Some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of him. Please be good and kind enough to say this prayer with me. Father God, I am a sinner and I need to be saved. Holy Spirit, come into my heart and make me the kind of Christian that you would have me to be. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that If you believe in your heart, and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died and he rose again in 3 days' time, you are saved. Now, if that was your first time ever having said a prayer like that and believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that he rose up again and now sits on the right hand of the Father, you are saved. There's nothing more than you must do. You are saved. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that because you are saved, the angels in heaven celebrate. Well, I'm not an angel in heaven. And I don't know what you have done. But I would ask that if you'd be both good and kind enough, let me know what it is that you've done. You can reach me via our website, nbcfc.org, and leave a message for me, some way that I can get back to you and share with you some additional things that you may seriously want to consider now that you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Or you can reach me on my blog, which is preachermanstand.com. Reach out to me there, leave me a note, a missive, some way I can get back with you and to you, and I'll be more than happy to do that. Let me pray with you, and then I'll send you on your way. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for this word that you've given us this day. I thank you that it will do that which you've purposed it to do. Some of us to be encouraged, and some of us to come into a saving knowledge of you. I ask, Father God, and pray that your word was clear, that your word will be effective. And I know it shall be because it's your word. And so that you would, Lord, look past my faults, my foibles, and my frailty, and pray, Father God, that your word would go forth in effectiveness. Now, as we leave this worship moment and go about our day, my prayer is, Father God, that your word would marinate in the hearts of those who have heard it, that we would have been made that much better after having heard it. Now, these and all other things we ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. God.